Ain't it exciting?
From Hollywood, the Raleigh Cigarette Program, starring Red Skelton, with Ozzie Nelson and his music, Harriet Hilliard, and Wonderful Smith.
The rest of the band hiding. Show's been great up till now.
That was Ozzie Nelson and his band playing I'll Be With You in Apple Blossom Time. And now we bring you Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Blossom Boy, Red Skelton.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Bradley,
yeah.
Where were you? I tried to get a hold of you Friday night. Where were you?
I was home.
Oh, well, no wonder we couldn't find you. We wanted to take you to the fight.
Well, some of the boys dropped over, Red, and they took me to the cleaners.
Oh, I
see. Say, Red, do you like the fights?
Yeah, I go to the fights every week at the American Legion Stadium.
Gee, do they have them there, too?
Yes.
One says here.
Yeah, I was there last week. Boy, what a knockout. What a knockout.
Yeah.
Too bad her husband was with her.
There certainly is a lot of noise at the fights, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I was so noisy that the woman in front of me turned around and says, "Hey, stop yelling, you'll wake up the baby."
Red, do you mean to say that some woman brought a little tiny baby to the fights?
Yeah, but it was all right. She took the baby out early.
That's good.
Yeah, she didn't want him to miss the last show at Ciro's. But, you know, I really enjoy the fights anyway. You know, I had a good seat.
Yeah.
I sat between two big fat ladies.
You were sitting in between two big ladies?
Yeah.
Tell me, were they really fat?
Fat? I felt like a Florida grapefruit between two California oranges.
Say, a lot of celebrities go to the fights, don't they?
Yeah. I saw Marcia Hunt there.
Oh, you saw Marcia Hunt?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of Miss Hunt?
I'm going to see the game warden tomorrow. And renew my hunting license.
Hiya, Red.
Oh, hello, Harriet. Say, where have you been?
Oh, I've been over to see that picture, Lydia.
Lydia? Is that a picture?
Well, sure. What'd you think?
I always thought it came in bottles. But listen, Harriet, did you enjoy the fights the other night?
Oh, I sure did, Red. Say, what was that thing that fell out of the fighter's mouth when he was hit on the jaw?
Oh, that was his mouthpiece.
Oh, nowadays a lawyer will work anywhere to make a dollar, won't he? You used to be a fighter yourself, didn't you, Red?
Yeah, I'll never forget my first fight.
What happened?
Well, I ran out on the canvas, and the next thing I knew, I was part of it. I never saw so many fists in all my life.
Who were you fighting?
I don't know. I think it was Lum and Abner.
Well, why didn't your manager throw in the sponge?
Well, he did, but I couldn't seem to fall on it.
Gee, I'll bet that was some fight.
Yeah, you know, he hit me in the eye so much that I had to carry a bird dog to point out the neutral corner.
Well, did you finally find a neutral corner?
Yeah, but Lupe Velez wouldn't let me stay there.
Say, Red, when you fought, did you stand back and box like Jim Corbett, or did you get in there and slug like Dempsey?
No, I ran like lightning.
Did they ever carry you out of the ring on a stretcher?
No, I used to have silver handles sewed onto my shorts.
Hello, everybody.
Well, hello, Ozzie. Pardon me, I got a little cold tonight.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad cold, too, Red. Does it bother you?
No, it's got vitamins in it. Say, listen, Ozzie, you know, I'm in pretty good shape considering that I was very puny when I was a baby. You know, when I was born, I was so puny that they were going to drown me.
Why didn't they?
Well, they were ashamed to be seen carrying me down to the river.
You know, that makes me feel good because I was pretty weak myself when I was a kid.
You were?
Oh, yeah. When I tried to walk, I'd fallen down if it wasn't for my uncle.
Yeah, what'd your uncle have to do with it?
Well, when I started to fall, I used to grab a hold of his breath. was the eggnogs that did it.
The eggnog?
Yeah, he used to drink eggs and fall on his nog.
Ozzy, just for that, I'm not going to finish your sock.
Well, I'm sorry I got so silly, Red. But, you know, I just wanted you to see what a strong physique I have now.
Oh.
Here, just feel my right arm here.
Hmm.
Now, feel my left arm.
Hmm.
Now, get a load of this chest. Well, what do you think?
I'm sorry, but I can't give you more than 6 cents a pound. Say, Harriet, isn't that the wedding march they're playing?
Yes, Red, it's the same old wedding march. Two young people, very much in love, have just become man and wife. The bridegroom, portrayed by Ozzy, turns to the bride and says this.
If you have troubles, dear, whatever they be, remember I'm always near to take the wraps for thee. Time passes swiftly by, and we find the same two people after they've been married for 20 years. And please, please remember, we're only kidding.
I guess I'll have to dream the rest. You look so athletic the day we were wed. Success has gone to your stomach instead of your head. Whatever happened to your chest? I guess I'll have to dream the rest. You really put me to the test. You looked so romantic before you were stout. Your hair had such beautiful waves before the tide went out. Now I count 6 or 7 hairs at best. I guess I'll have to dream the rest.
Well, I guess you're right, says he. I'm not quite the guy I used to be. But though I hate to seem shy on chivalry, you know, you've held out a thing or two on me. Don't let this make you too depressed. You just never mentioned that you couldn't cook. You got all your recipes out of a book. One misprint I could not digest. And all that night I dreamed the rest. Now we find the same two people, and this time they've been married for 50 years. And as our scene opens, they're returning from a party.
You'd better get right to bed and get some rest. You know, you can't go to any more parties if you're going to play so hard. At your age, playing post office and running around the yard.
Well, that blonde said she liked my kisses best. I guess I'll have to dream the rest.
Well, mercy me, what a conceited man. My goodness sakes alive. Have you recently looked at your pan? Why, they turn it down in an aluminum drive.
Well, though they say these times are not the best. Oh, what a wonderful age as I sit by my radio and hear those old sweet songs that Mother used to know.
Yes, and hear those same old jokes that Father liked the best.
Well, I guess I'll have to dream the rest.
That was Harriet Hilliard and Ozzie Nelson with their special brand of dreaming. And very drowsy, too.
Thanks, very Red. Good. Say, what did you do last night?
Oh, I went to a banquet. A friend of mine's going to Alcatraz, and we gave him a testimonial dinner.
You mean one of those things where they have those long, drawn-out speeches?
Yeah, you know, I heard one speech that was so long, the guy made a speech about why Hoover should be president. And when he finished, the next speaker announced that Roosevelt had been elected for a third term.
You're right, Red. You know, you hear a lot of funny speakers nowadays.
Yeah, you know, say, that would be a good subject to do tonight, Harriet. We'll show different people making speeches. First, we'll start with a Toastmaster, a guy who has a very radiant personality. You know, very well lit. He usually has trouble with the microphone, and nothing he says makes sense. One of these guys. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Hey, pipe down. Where do you think you're at, the public library?
Hey, Chris, you've been drinking?
Well, you don't get this way from eating peanuts.
Hey, maybe the mic isn't on.
Hey, maybe it's not. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Jack, Queen, King. 1, 2, testing. Yep, it's on. Quiet, everybody, quiet. Hey, I got an idea. I know how we can stop them. Give me that bottle of champagne. That did it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement to make. Due to the fact that Monday comes on Tuesday, yes, Wednesday, our regular Thursday meeting will be held on Friday this Saturday because Sunday's a holiday. Hey, you know what? While I got the floor, I think I'll just go ahead and make my own speech. Hey, where'd everybody go?
Home.
Well, why didn't you go, too?
I can't.
Why not?
Well, I'm the next speaker.
Say, Red, did you ever see a nervous speaker?
Yeah, I saw one once. Boy, was that guy nervous. He was one of these type of guys.
What's the matter? You nervous? Stop shaking.
I'm not shaking. I got a hangover from a pinball machine.
Well, stop biting your fingernails.
I always bite my fingernails.
I know, but down to your wrist? Come on now, keep your chin up.
Keep my chin up? Why?
You're drooling all over your necktie.
Gee, I'm nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. These people don't expect anything.
No? Is that why they got ropes?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a few words from the man on my right.
Uh-oh. Man the pumps. My knees just turned to water.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Casper Skelton.
Oh, Casper Skelton's going to speak.
Snap out of it. That's you, moth-eaten.
Oh.
Come on, say something to the people. They're all sitting there with their mouths open.
What are they expecting? Speech or herring?
With you, they'll get both.
Yeah.
Now get up and speak.
Okay. Ladies and... ladies and... Could I have some water?
Water?
Yeah, it's water.
You want it in a glass or a cup?
No, just wrap it up in a napkin.
Go on. Go on with your speech.
Here, have another drink of water.
If I drink any more water, they'll have to build a dam in the back of me. I have a few notes here that I would like to read from. The notes here that I have in front of me. Mr. Skelton, unless you make a payment on your... Wrong one. And in conclusion... I would like to use a phrase that George Washington used in his farewell address. Goodbye. Gee, I wish I could go through the floor. I'd give anything if I could sink right through the floor. Fine place for a manhole. Then we have America's favorite speaker, the politician. Ah, the politician. Did you ever see those guys make a speech with about 25 microphones in front of them, see? Only one of them's on, though. And usually before they go into their speech, they're always interrupted by the lady of the committee.
Ah, there, Mr. Skelton, I hope you remember me.
Well, of course I do, my dear. How many post offices do you want?
Oh, we don't need a post office. We've got 3 in Tarzana now.
Oh, really?
But tell me, Senator, is your speech prepared?
No, I haven't prepared my speech. I shall ad-lib the whole thing from the notes written on my stomach.
You mean you've got your whole speech written on your shirt front?
Yes, I'm having a little trouble lately. I've put on so much weight that it's getting so that I can't read the end of my speech.
Oh, well. You've just been announced by the Toastmaster, Senator.
Yes.
Anything I can bring you before you start?
Yes, I would like to have a glass of water on the table.
To drink?
No, every 15 minutes I'm going to stop and rinse out a few things.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet a man you've all been wanting to meet.
Yeah, in a dark alley.
Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Skelton, we've heard a lot about you, Senator.
Well, it's nothing but a pack of lies. I can explain everything at the investigation.
Ladies and gents, I give you Senator Skelton, and here comes Malicious Now.
Thank you, fellow voters. I'm more than delighted to be here in your beautiful city of Hollywood. Oh, yes, Hollywood. Where visitors are greeted with open arms.
Hit the road, you bum!
Hollywood. The city that welcomes strangers.
Get out of town.
Tourists. I have come here to tell you that I am going to help you with your troubles in Washington. Of course, I may stay here a couple of months. But I doubt it.
Hey, you!
What is it, Colt?
How are you going to balance the budget?
Quiet, little man, or I'll revoke your breathing license.
Come on now, tell us, how are you going to balance the budget?
Listen, why don't you drop a postcard to we the people?
Now listen, I'm John Public. If you don't tell us how you're going to balance the budget, we're going to come up and get you.
No, wait a minute, John.
Come on, fellas, let's get this phony bum.
All right, all right.
And so, dear John, good night.
Did you ever see a lady and her little boy? I mean, little boy's making a speech, and his mother is prompting him. Look, I'll be the little boy, Harriet, and you be my mother.
Oh, now, wait a minute. This is the third time I've played your mother. Hmm. Next time, you got to play my mother.
Yeah. It'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? Okay, let's go.
All right. Now, Richard, be sure and face the audience and talk loud.
I changed my mind. I don't want to do it.
Oh, yes, you will. Do you see this razor strap?
Yes, aren't you the razor strap?
You know what I'm going to do with it?
I don't care. Go ahead and shave.
Listen, if you embarrass me, I'll whip you till you can't stand up.
Yeah, you whip me that hard, you'll have to hang me on a hook, or I won't be able to sit down either.
Now act like a little gentleman. Someone's coming.
Yeah.
Well, 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 what a nice little boy. Here, my little man, let me pat you on the head.
He's got all his teeth, hasn't he?
Richard, you shouldn't go around biting people.
Why not? I got rabies.
Isn't he a cute little boy?
What kind of a speech are you going to make, Richard?
Now, wait a minute. Let's not get nosy, Bob.
Now, see here. Do you know who I am?
No.
Well, take a good look at my face. Well?
What is it, true or false?
Madam, you please control your child. If I'm going to introduce him to the audience, I must know what he's going to do.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out of here. I'm not going to stand up in front of them people and make a monkey out of my chop.
Oh,
I'm going to go.
Richard, wait. Where are you going?
I'm going over to the amusement park and throw a dead skunk into the tunnel of love.
Richard, you come back here.
No, I
don't
won't.
Worry,
I
Mr.
don't
O'Brien.
Want to.
Oh, yes, you will. Here, put your shirt tail in. I'll comb your head.
Okay.
I'll introduce him.
Well, give me a big build-up. I'm a child movie star, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He was in Dr. Kildare's picture entitled The Strange Case.
Yeah, all through the picture, I sat in a big glass bottle. Treading alcohol.
Richard.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Little Richard Skelton.
Go ahead.
No, I changed my mind. I'll do it on a repeat, Joe. I don't want to do it.
Come.
No, I don't want to. Don't do it.
No. Now, I wouldn't cry like that.
Well, you cry your way. This is my way. I'd go out, Mummy, but I can't think of anything to say.
Oh, don't be scared, darling. Now, you just go on out, and I'll prompt you.
Would you?
Yes, now you just run on out there.
Okay. Look at the people. Ladies and gentlemen,
As I stand here.
As I stand here.
Looking into your faces.
No, don't. As I stand here. Oh, yes, I know. Ladies and gentlemen, as I stand here looking into your faces, I can see that there are a lot of faces that really need looking into.
No. Richard, recite your poem.
Which one?
Algae.
Oh, no, that would lay an egg with its mob. No, I don't think they go in for that smart stuff.
Go on, recite your poem anyway.
All right. Algae. Algae saw a bear. The bear saw algae. The bear was bulgy. The bulge was algae.
You know, I think the finest speakers of all...
Pardon me, Mr. Skelton.
Well, wonderful Smith.
Well, you know, you're making those speeches, you sure are fine. You sure are up on all of them.
Yeah, I guess I've heard just about everything.
Did you ever get a bottle of gin and then try to attend the Harlem Chamber of Commerce meeting?
No.
Brother, then you ain't heard nothing yet.
Well, really something, huh?
Well, I made a speech last week, and Congress is still debating whether I should arm myself or not.
Well, what happened?
Well, while I was speaking, someone gave me a hot foot with a blowtorch.
A hot foot with a blowtorch?
Yes, sir. It was my first fireside chat.
Say, wonderful. Maybe we could show the folks a real Harlem speaker, huh?
Well, yes, sir, Mr. Skelton. I'd like that.
Okay.
Now, ladies and coffee pot dodgers, your speaker that I was about to introduce is really a fine man. In fact, he is one of the best politicians that money can buy. I gives you now Wonderful Smith. Take it, boy.
Well, thank you. That dinner sure was fine. But a little thing has come up. The man hasn't been paid.
Well, brother, shall we pass the hat?
Well, that's hardly advisable, because the last time we passed the hat, we not only didn't get any money, but we didn't even get the hat back.
I don't think you was impressing the brothers very much, because you're not a polished speaker, you know.
Well, I knows where I can get that. Will you pass the phone, please?
Yeah, you want mustard or ketchup?
Olive oil.
Oh.
Hello, operator? Give me the Speaker of the House, Washington, D.C. Hello, Mr. Speaker Rayburn. This is Wonderful Smith. Well, I need a few pointers on how to be a great speaker.
Hang up, boy. That man's busy.
You say every successful speaker has a glass and a pitcher of water handy. Does it have to be water? But, Mr. Speaker, water doesn't agree with me. It has no vitamins.
The other stuff ain't got no vitamins either.
Yeah, I know, but if I gotta miss my vitamins, it's gotta taste good. What'd you say? You want to know what ticket I'm running on? Well, Mr. Speaker, I've been on the fence so long, the termites use me for a base.
Say, find out how to get the lady vote.
Oh, yes. Well, Mr. Speaker, what do I have to do to get the lady's vote? Oh, I see.
What do you say?
Kiss all the pretty girls.
Hmm.
You say every kiss is a vote? I wonder how many times Hattie McDaniels can vote. Well, Mr. Speaker, what do I do then? Take a subject like the new tax? By the way, how is Mr. Morgenthau? Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try that, too. Well, I was going to be a great speaker now. In fact, I'm going to be the greatest political speaker of them all.
What you going to do?
I'll tell nothing but the truth. Yeah.
That was Ozzie Nelson and his band. That was Ozzie Nelson and his band heading south on the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Say, Red, when you were talking about various people making speeches, you didn't mention what goes on at home while they were getting ready to go to the meeting.
Well, I was coming to that, Truman.
Yeah?
As the scene opens, we find a man getting ready to go to make a speech at the annual dinner of the employees of the Amalgamated Meat Hook Makers Convention. Listen.
Hurry up, dear. You only have an hour to get off to the banquet.
I know. Say, have I got any clean shirts?
No, they haven't come back from Santa Anita.
Hey, I'm all out of socks.
Huh?
I say I'm all out of socks.
Well, you wouldn't be if you took off the old ones before you put on the clean ones.
What do you think I am, a sissy?
Rich. Oh, hey, come out from under there. That's a high boy, not an air raid shelter.
Yeah. Well, right now, it's the Bureau of Missing Collar Buttons.
Oh, did you lose your collar button?
No, darling. The collar button and I are just playing a little game of hide and seek. I'm it.
Chloe. Chloe.
Hey, who's Chloe?
That's what I call my lavender shorts.
Now, Richard, don't forget, this is a formal affair tonight.
Formal affair?
Yes.
You mean I gotta wear my gold tooth?
Yeah, and the black and white toupee.
I'll put on a clean sweatshirt, too.
Say, you'd better run over your speech.
Oh, yeah. Hey, are you sure this is a good speech?
The book I got it out of says it helped one guy get promoted from dishwasher to busboy in less than 3 years.
Well, I ain't that smart. I don't know. May I better rehearse it a bit? Gentlemen and ladies.
Oh, say ladies and gentlemen, you dope. Ladies are before gentlemen.
On what bus? Look, I'll try my speech. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a rumor in the air that I am going to be the new bus boy.
Oh, fine. Listen, Concrete, you're supposed to change that to general manager.
Oh, I see. There's a rumor in the air that I'll be the new general manager. And if this is true, I won't refuse it, but I'll make a good impression and sit down. I don't know. That don't sound like a very good speech to me.
Oh, well, don't worry. It'll be better than your rival, Herman Crumpet.
Well, I suppose so, but, hey, you think it's cold out?
Probably is. You think I should wear my fur, Chubby? Are you about ready?
Yeah, just as soon as I fasten this tight collar. It went again.
Oh, here, let me help you.
Okay.
My, I think your Adam's apple's getting bigger every day. What an Adam's apple. How did it get so big?
Irrigation. Oh, there it went again. Gee.
Oh, it's your Adam's apple that's doing it.
Well, I can't leave it here.
Well, don't swallow.
Well, how am I going to eat? Through a tube?
Oh, come on. Hurry up. Get your coat out of the closet.
Okay. That closet must have been left over from the Fibber McGee and Molly program. Well, I'm ready. Hey, how do you like my dress suit? I say, how do you like my dress suit?
Looks like the Chattanooga choo-choo had a wreck at Tuxedo Junction.
Say, what are these white things all over my coat?
Moths. Shake them off.
Okay. Now I know what they mean by keep them flying.
Come on, Red. It's getting late.
Okay, wait till I put my opera hat on. There.
Is that an opera hat? It looks funny.
It does? Oh.
No wonder. Forgot to open it up.
Let's go. Where's the car?
It's stacked up outside.
I thought you had it parked in the backyard.
I did, but the gophers kept dragging it down a hole. They thought it was a relative. Well, here's the car. Step in.
I'll get in the back seat.
Okay, as long as I can hear you, so I don't know what to do. Let's go.
Now, wait till I sit down. Ow!
What's the matter? Oh, thanks. Gee, I've been looking for that oil can for 2 weeks.
All right, let's go. Step on the starter.
Okay. I think we're out of spark plugs.
Want to start?
Nope.
What do we do?
Well, I could build a hill.
Oh, I'm sick and tired of this old car.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of tired of it myself. Every time we take it out in traffic, it starts sniffing around those new Chevrolets. Maybe it's nearsighted, huh?
Well, let's walk. We've only got 20 minutes.
Okay, it'll give me time to memorize my script. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a rumor in the air. Hey!
Please.
Go on, give them your tickets.
Uh-oh.
Haven't you got the tickets?
No, I left them in my other shoes.
Hello, folks. Well, how are you, Skelton, Mrs. S? My, my, you look sweet enough to kiss.
Do I?
All right, break it up. If you ain't got a ticket, please don't block the doorway.
Okay.
Oh, if you folks don't have tickets, I'll be only too glad to,
Now, wait a minute. You think we'd take money from you? Well, do you?
Do you want me to answer this, or shall I stick to the script?
Please, Mr. Crumpet.
Well, I was only trying to be sociable. After tonight, I'll probably be the new general manager and your new boss, Skelton.
Why that little? If I had enough Raleigh coupons, I'd really tell him off. Say, are you sure this speech you got for me out of the book is strong enough?
Yes, and you'd better rehearse it again, too.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, there's a rumor in the air. Hey, maybe if I punched it up a little bit and says, ladies and gentlemen, as the landlady said when the boarding house exploded, there's a rumor in the air.
That's cute.
I'll be the new general manager.
Oh, my, wasn't that shrimp good?
Yeah, it's the first time I ever ate a midget. I put that in for the small fry. You know.
Quiet! Quiet, everyone! Quiet down now. At this time, I want you to meet two gentlemen. And after they make their speeches tonight, one of them will be chosen as your new general manager.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a rumor in the air that there's a...
So, I want you to meet a fine man, Mr. Herman Crumpet.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Oh, gee, he's cute.
Cute, huh? I heard that he makes his own hair.
Quiet.
Ladies and gentlemen, as the landlord said when the boarding house exploded, there's a rumor in the air. there's a rumor in the air. I will be your new general manager. If this is true, I won't refuse it, but I will make a good impression and sit down.
Hey, that's the same speech I was going to make. He got it out of the same book you get. Oh, what'll I do? What'll I do?
And now, we want you to meet the other fellow we have in mind for the job, Richard Skelton.
Well, I've got a terrific in. Gee, what'll I do? This is terrible. He did my speech. My job depends on it.
You're right. Your job does depend on it. Oh, get up and say something. Say anything.
Okay. Jim never sends me pretty flowers. Jim just sends me 4 roses.
As this Armistice Day tribute, Ozzie and the boys close this week's show with Thank Your Lucky Stars and Stripes. Remember, we'll all be back again next week. Red Skelton, Ozzie Nelson and his music, Harriet Hilliard, Wonderful Smith, and your announcer, Truman Bradley. Until next Tuesday, then.
This is Red Skelton. Say goodbye now. We're a little early, folks.
Red Skelton is heard on this program through the courtesy of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.